Hey everybody, Colt here. Thanks for stopping by and checking out our podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, be sure to check out our website, draftdive.com, or follow us on Twitter, @draftdive and @_ColtWilliams. Now, enjoy the episode.
Welcome back, everybody. It's another edition of the Draft Dive Football Show. I'm Jonah, joined as always by my co-host Colt. Colt, how's it going?
Man, Jonah, we had some awesome games here this weekend. I'm doing well. I want to talk about those games just a little bit. I mean, we finally know who's going to the Super Bowl. We've got the Chiefs versus the 49ers. First and foremost, I kind of want to get your opinion on who you think's going to win that game. Because that should be, you know, it's a repeat, right? So yeah. We've kind of seen this, but not quite with Brock Purdy. So where do you think that how do you think that ends up?
Man, you know, this is a tough one to call, but I'm going San Francisco.
That's who I want to win it. Not only I won't keep any of my bias away. I'll go ahead and just tell you how my mind is. I don't want people to think that Mahomes is better than Brady already. Like, yes, you know, he had a very long career, but Brady had arguably three Hall of Fame careers in one. It's not to knock what Mahomes is doing right now. It's phenomenal. I think he's a Hall of Famer, especially if he wins this one here. You know, this is four Super Bowls in 5 years, right? And, you know, he has a chance to win his third. The one he lost was the one against Brady, that Tampa defense, goodness. But nevertheless, you know, I remember all of the times where it's like, oh, is Brady, you know, passed Montana? Has he done this? And Montana's sitting there with four Super Bowls, and he had to win his fifth in the comeback victory against Atlanta to finally solidify that. So, yeah, I don't like people throwing around the greatest of all time with such ease, because, you know, you got these players that have done it for so long, and I think longevity and availability is something that can't be understated for somebody's career. You know, when you have the Frank Gores, the Jerry Rices, the Tom Brady's at those positions, I think it, you know, is something where we got to take it with a little grain of salt. I love what we're watching right now, and I wish nothing but good things for Mahomes. You know, if he wins this, that's awesome as well. But I just hate all of the media talk afterwards of, is he the number one back all time now? So that's just where I am. I digress just a little bit. Yeah, that's my.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, what Mahomes doing is certainly very impressive. But yeah, he does have a little bit to go to catch Brady.
Yeah, I'd say he has a while to go. But the other games, I mean, let's talk about these games just real quick, the conference championships. I mean, we had the Chiefs-Ravens. If you told me the Chiefs scored 17 points and they beat the Ravens, I would say, no way, really? I mean, yeah. That was shocking, that game right there. It's like, what I think shocked me the most is, you know, these teams, they come out and they have basically the first drive, maybe even half the first quarter, kind of as a script. They know what plays they want to run, they have these ones dialed in. And I did not have, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, you know, leading rushers, well, not the leading rusher, but, you know, Gus Edwards, he had three carries, Justice Hill, three carries, although Justice Hill got kind of, you know, used in the passing game. It was shocking to me. It seemed like they just wanted to put the game on Lamar's back and make him throw it, like as if, one, they didn't, maybe the Chiefs wouldn't expect that he was going to throw it so much, or maybe two, that, you know, they just wanted to prove that Lamar isn't just a guy who is leaning on a defense, wants to prove that he's an elite passer. And yeah, that was not the best game plan. It wasn't Lamar's fault. I mean, throwing an interception into triple coverage, that is, but outside of that, I mean, a lot of this wasn't, you know, wasn't his fault. I think that the Ravens beat themselves up more than the Chiefs actually did.
Yeah, the number one running team in the NFL decided not to run it. There's not a lot more I can say than that, but that just seems like a bad idea, and it proved to be a bad idea for them.
Yeah, I mean, when Zay Flowers has one less carry than your lead running back on the season, something went horribly wrong. Having Lamar Jackson almost pass it 40 times, that's not great either. But yeah, that game, that's what gives me a little bit more confidence in the 49ers winning it all, because, I mean, the Chiefs still didn't really prove a ton to me there that they could really contend. But, you know, we'll see. You've been able to run on the 49ers. We saw that, you know, with the Bills, with the Lions, and even the week before, even with Aaron Jones. I mean, they're pounding him on the ground. So Pacheco may be a key cog in the run here if they have that. But the Lions 49ers game, man, 65 points scored. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, definitely no shortage of excitement in that. And then, you know, everyone wants to talk about going for it. I'm fine with it. Yeah. Is it what I would have done personally? No, but it's what Dan Campbell does. So you can't, you know, I think people are overblowing it, you know, that, oh my gosh, I can't believe he went for it. It's what he does all year. That's Dan Campbell. That's the kind of coach he is. You know, again, it's not my personal philosophy, but I don't think it's shocking, and I don't think, you know, it's horrible that he went for it. That's just what he does.
Yeah, that's how it goes. You know, there's sometimes, and I totally agree. I don't knock the choice. Had they won the game, we wouldn't even be talking about this, right?
So that would it's whenever
you know, you lose the game, that's when you're going to get more media criticism about it. But, you know, and they're going to talk about Dan Campbell, but they're not going to talk about Josh Reynolds' multiple drive-stopping drops, or Jahmyr Gibbs fumbling on the Lions, 30-yard line or something like that. Or
20 to 30, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things. And it's no one play, or a couple of plays if you're going for it on fourth down and will convert multiple times. Mm-hmm. There's no, the 49ers are going to put up points, and I don't go against him being aggressive like that. You never know when the last time is you're going to have the ball in the fourth quarter. You know, they could really run the clock out, and so there's so many different ways it could play out there. But yeah, I don't hate the Dan Campbell. That's what got him here, right? That's how they got all the way to the conference championship. So I don't knock him at all for kind of going for it.
Yep. I mean, you see what happens when you try and switch up, you know, your game plan. The Ravens, they switched up their game plan, and that's what happened. So,
oh man,
the Lions stuck to their game plan, and you know, it didn't work out for them. But I think maybe their best news is that their OC is coming back.
Yeah, that was kind of a shocking, I would say,
for a head coach job. And yeah, so yeah, he's coming back. Good for them.
That's good news, and good news for anybody who has Lions, Lions in like a dynasty league, or if you planned on drafting Lions in your coming redraft leagues or best ball leagues, wherever, you know, things aren't really going to be changing too much. So yeah, that's looking good there. Now, Jonah, we were talking about it last week. We wanted to dive in today to, you know, some of the NFL honors. So we're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, MVP, offensive, defensive player of the year, offensive, defensive rookie of the year, and coach of the year. So we've got a lot of nominees here. Four, five, six of them in some cases of the nominees. But let's go ahead. Let's kick it off. I'll let you start us off here. Who is your most valuable player here for the 2023/2024 season?
All right. Well, you know, I'm not going to do anything too crazy. It's Lamar Jackson. He was the best player during the regular season. Now, I do have a couple of things. I mean, if it was throughout the entire season, including playoffs, I think you have to start looking at Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
especially after this past weekend. I mean, there's kind of a sour taste in your mouth from Lamar. But there's actually a guy who is not nominated, who, if you look at it, most valuable player, most valuable to their team, not necessarily who had the best season, but most valuable to their team. I think CJ Stroud got kind of screwed in not being nominated. I think, I mean, the Texans are terrible without CJ Stroud. They're horrible. Not a playoff team that's winning a playoff game.
I
They're the
mean,
bottom of the barrel team without him.
I totally agree. A lot of these players sometimes we'll see, because MVP, right? We know it's a quarterback award. It is every single year. The last time a non-quarterback won it, I think was Adrian Peterson, right? In 2,000
Yeah, I
plus
would
yard season.
think so. Adrian
So
Peterson.
it's very rare. It's almost always quarterback. Sometimes it's running back, but outside of that, it's you're not going to find any other position. So to see like a name like Christian McCaffrey even nominated in MVP is pretty exciting. But I agree. CJ Stroud's name could have been thrown into the hat. It should be, right? Because if you're thinking about it and you dial it down MVP, you're right. The Texans, they would be absolutely nothing. Could the Bills continue without Josh Allen, or could the Ravens continue without Lamar Jackson? The Lamar Jackson one, I would dare to say that they could, because their defense is so good and the run game's so good that maybe you get some kind of game manager in there. But nevertheless, we're talking about, who we think's going to win it. I didn't look at the betting odds for any of these players, but I did look at it, I don't know, a week or two ago, at Lamar Jackson's betting odds for winning MVP. Any guesses on what you think it would be?
Oh, I mean, he's got to be something like what, minus 10,000 or something?
-20,000. This is when I looked at it like a week ago. It may have changed, and I don't know how that really works when you're going off regular season stats, but negative 20,000 odds. So for those listening, to put it in perspective, if you're not familiar with the American betting odds, that means if you were to bet $100 on Lamar Jackson winning MVP, you would stand to win 50 cents. That is absolutely insane. That's how high the odds are. I didn't think he totally ran away with it like he did in his other MVP season, where he had 36 touchdowns as compared to 24. But I digress. But yeah, Lamar, I think we both have him there. And maybe rename the award. On to Let's go ahead and go on to Offensive Player of the Year. Now, this one typically going to be some kind of skill position player. I've got a name. I think we may both have the same name. I'm going with Christian McCaffrey. I think it's just he is the cog of what the 49ers do. I mean, when you were talking about Brock Purdy and how he's kind of, his name should be thrown in there and everything like that. Like, Christian McCaffrey silently, yet again, had another 2,000 scrimmage yard season, 21 touchdowns. Like, he is the engine. We talked about it just last week. He's the engine that runs the 49ers. When I saw him go down in the conference championship game, I think it was just close to the end of the game when he like landed on his neck trying to go for the end zone. I was like, oh no, like, you need Christian McCaffrey, or this line is going to swing in this Chiefs game. But yeah, Christian McCaffrey is my vote for Offensive Player of the Year. That's who I think is going to win it, and who I would vote for.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I think this is probably a pretty big gimme as well for McCaffrey. I don't, it's hard to look anywhere else. If MVP wasn't a quarterback award, he's a legitimate MVP candidate. And, he just happens to play the wrong position. But yeah, you talk about the best offensive player, McCaffrey gets it done on the ground through the air. He can even throw the ball a little bit. He, the Niners are a very, very different team without McCaffrey. So yeah, he deserves his respect, and he gets it in the consolation award of the offensive player of the year.
That is a good way to put it. Yeah, and I do agree. And, he has his name in the MVP nominees. That just kind of means, oh, and you're not a quarterback? All right, we're gonna go ahead, since you're not gonna win this one, certainly, we're gonna go ahead and knock you down to Offensive Player of the Year, and we'll just give you that. So those were kind of gimmies, given whether it's the betting odds or just, overall domination at their position. But we're getting into some territory here now where I think it could be a little questionable, and I'm curious of where you lean. Defensive Player of the Year. So, you've got some great names: Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, T.J. Watt, Daron Bland. Who would you vote for, and who do you think is going to win it?
Yeah, this gets a lot tougher. I mean, this is a pretty tight race here. Personally, I'm going to go with Myles Garrett, and I'll go that I think he wins it as well. But it's a very tight race between him and Crosby, and I mean even Watt, I think, are the three guys. Bland had all the touchdowns, but I think they're going to go with one of the pass rushers for the award, and I'm going to take Myles Garrett.
As somebody who, I mean, this is in, high school and flag football leagues, who played speed positions like wide out and cornerback, I had to go with Daron Bland. I mean, it's kind of, it's NFL history with five interceptions for a touchdown in a season. For example, in 2022, the interception leader, this isn't even going for touchdowns, was six. So, you have some outlier seasons like Trayvon Diggs or Xavien Howard, where they had like 11 or 10. But not five for a touchdown. I think what really hurts him is he got cooked. I wouldn't say pretty often, but Bland, we did see some big plays happen to him. Kind of like Diggs the year before, right? He had these interceptions, but he would also let, huge plays go by him. So Bland would be my vote. I think I would be in the minority with that, certainly. But I think TJ Watt probably goes away with it. I think the NFL doesn't really. I don't know if they consider double coverage, triple coverage, that like Myles Garrett is getting, just like Aaron Donald was getting for years and years. J.J. Watt, like T.J. Watt's brother, like you have these players who are just elite getting, a tight end put on them as well as two linemen. Like, it is very difficult to overcome that and get these sacks. So while T.J. Watt has 19 sacks and was a sack leader on the season, it's shouldn't be taken away of what, any of these other guys, Crosby, Garrett, or Parsons, were doing there on the field.
Yeah. No, it's a tough call, and I mean, I think where it hurts Crosby is being part of a defense that's not that great as well, which makes his probably him standing out even more impressive. But yeah, it's a tough race, but I'll say that Garrett gets it.
Yeah, the Condor. Yeah, no, I like that. I like that there as well. Do you know who the betting favorite is? I didn't have that up. I just didn't know
I
if you had
actually
seen.
do not. No, I'm not
Okay,
sure.
I've got to double check here for. I'm curious. Okay, yeah, it is Garrett. So
Oh.
whether both of us didn't know it, and you picked Garrett, so that's pretty good there. Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's move on. This one, I already know who you're going to vote for, but Offensive Rookie of the Year. You were talking about C.J. Stroud just a little while earlier. Tell me why he is, his name should have been thrown in MVP, you said. So tell me why he's your Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'm just speculating and guessing, but I think that's who you've got.
Yeah, you can't go anywhere else but CJ Stroud. I'll say the fact that there's even a tiny bit of discussion is really, Puka Nacua should, what a year he had. I mean, almost any other year, I think he should have been the rookie of the year. So it's a bad year for Puka Nacua. I don't want to minimize what he did because he had a really incredible year.
Yeah,
Yeah, but it's like I said, I mean, the Texans, we saw what the Texans were without CJ Stroud last year. A what bottom two team, bottom three team. They're one of the worst teams in the league. They get CJ Stroud. They do get, Will Anderson as well, but CJ Stroud to really make that offense go, he made all the difference in the world for him. He took him from one of the teams competing for the number one draft pick to a playoff winning team. And he put him on his back and he did it. It's just hard to argue with everything he accomplished.
Yeah, no, I totally agree there. Most oftentimes we see the betting lines of these, you know, first, second, third, bottom teams who have like these early picks in the draft because they're drafting quarterbacks oftentimes there. We'll see their win-loss record. And oftentimes, I mean, like the Panthers or the Texans, I don't have it up in front of me, but I remember vaguely before the season started, their win-loss was like 4.5, maybe 5.5 on the season. So for them to double that, go, well, I think 10-7, like that, and then go into the playoffs and not even just make the playoffs, but beat a good Browns team in the playoffs, that is all the more, you know, kudos and hats off to them. So I think CJ Stroud does win it as well. I would like Puka Nacua to win it. But just like, I mean, we had it in 2020. You know, Justin Herbert had a really good season. And Justin Jefferson also broke the rookie record at that point in time and did not win it. So bad luck. I think, you know, repeats and strikes again here in 2023, 2024. And yeah, CJ Stroud's probably going to run away with this one.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, awards are quarterback awards for the most part, and but CJ Stroud did earn this quarterback award as well.
I totally agree. All right, defensive rookie of the year. You're talking about Will Anderson just a little while ago of the Texans, taking third overall. You've got some other really nice rookies in this one here. Joey Porter Jr., Kobe Turner, Devon Witherspoon. And then my pick, Jalen Carter of the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I was shocked. I think the world was that he fell down to 9th overall. We know it was the off-the-field issues, you know, practice stuff, things like that. It happens every single year. These great players, you know, who are supposed to be one of these top picks, there's, you know, whether it's slander or not, stuff comes out about them as the NFL draft's happening from other agents, different media sources, you name it, to help boost. Or, you know, boost other players or reduce some players' value. But Jalen Carter, I mean, in the trenches there for the Philadelphia Eagles. And then I know he didn't get the interception, but also diving for the interception when somebody was spiking the ball, I think was just awesome. Haven't seen that in the NFL. And yeah, Jalen Carter would be my vote here.
Yeah, this is another one, I guess, like defensive player of the year where it's a tighter field. Mm-hmm. No super obvious, no, you know, 15 sack rookie or anything to go with. But I do think that Jalen Carter is the favorite. But I'm going to go with Will Anderson for my pick. I'm going Texans with the offensive and defensive rookie of the year. I would vote for Will Anderson just for the difference he made on a much maligned defense who still needs to improve, but would have been much worse off without Anderson.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you there, and I don't hate the vote. I think that's a great vote. Will Anderson, you know, was a player who was a consensus number one overall pick for quite a while in front of, you know, Young, in front of Stroud, you know, on a lot of people's big boards. So, yeah, just a complete player. I was a little upset when, you know, the Texans traded their pick and got Will Anderson, only because I knew that they wouldn't have a chance at getting Marvin Harrison Jr. here in this year's draft. But yeah. Will Anderson showed that he is the real deal, and we all kind of knew it, right? But it was really nice to see. I just wanted to see the CJ Stroud, Marvin Harrison Jr. kind of stacked together.
It would be great, but hey, the Texans, they were way too good this year to be in Harrison Jr. Drafting position. So
that's true. And I think CJ Stroud and, you know, the Texans, D'Amico, Ryans, I think they would all rather take the wins and the playoff wins and everything like that instead of, you know, a potential pick here in this year's draft. Mm-hmm. But speaking about D'Amico, Ryans, let's go ahead. Let's wrap it up here. Let's go with Coach of the Year. Now, this is where I think it's anybody's game. There's so many good names here. Kevin Stefanski, D'Amico Ryan, Shane Steichen, Dan Campbell, John Harbaugh, Sean McVay. Like, you can go on who you think would win it, and I think you can make a case for any of them. But me, personally, Like I said, I might be changing on the fly here, but I'm gonna go ahead and go with what I was originally wrote down. Who I've got, Dan Campbell. I mean, you're winning their first playoff win in over 30 years, and not only do you win that, you go all the way to the conference championship. His first 3 years before Campbell, I mean, the years before Campbell even took over, 6-10, 3-12, 5-11. The only thing Dan Campbell's done since he got there, I mean, his first season wasn't great, right? First year head coach, and then just progressively got better as it went on, and then this season just went, improved it. They made it to the playoffs. I don't know why he's really talking about it in pressers, like this was our chance, this was our only chance we were going to get. I think they still have a, youthful foundation and potential to get back there again. I get it. You're only one game away from going to the bowl, but yeah, Dan Campbell would be my pick. Is D'Amico Ryan's yours pick? Are you going to go with another Texan?
No, I am actually my this was a tough one. I'm gonna go with Kevin Stefanski. I think what the Browns did with Joe Flacco and was just too impressive. They were a great team. They didn't have the playoff success, but I mean, if you said that they'd play, the vast majority of the year without their starting quarterback, who they paid all the money for and gave up all the draft picks for, it would look pretty bad. And then you'd say, also, they're going to be going with Joe Flacco. It doesn't sound like a recipe for success. I mean, they were one of the toughest teams in the league. They didn't show it in the playoffs, but they were one of the best teams in the league. And going with, a guy off the couch, I've got to give the respect. I mean, all these guys deserve respect. Yeah, you said it. D'Amico for making the Texans good. Dan Campbell for winning the NFC North with the Lions. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Dan Campbell is going to win it. I feel like that's too good of a story. And plus, it's Dan Campbell. So his people love him, but yeah, I would go with Stefanski myself.
Is beloved. Yeah, I mean Shane Steichen, you could argue he did the same thing as Stefanski. I mean his team wasn't as good, but I don't think we really expect them to be. Their defense was, so-so, and then having Gardner Minshew in there for majority of the year, it's like, that was shocking that he still made it, around first time head coach here. But you said the same thing, D'Amico Ryans. Like they went 10-7, went to the playoffs, won a game. Kyle Shanahan, right? Like this is another person who we're not talking about Andy Reid. We're not talking about Kyle Shanahan. Why is that? Like these are some names I think are worth mentioning. And maybe the other pieces on their team are taking too much credit. But yeah, nevertheless, I mean, it takes a lot to go all the way. So not one player's team. It's not one coach's team. There's a lot of other pieces that go with it. Kevin Stefanski, for those wondering, is the front runner for Coach of the Year odds right
Oh,
now, minus 1,000. So,
I would have thought Campbell. I really I
yeah,
thought Campbell.
he's fourth, plus 1,600. You got Ryan's and Steichen right behind him. So, I mean, those are always ever changing, but minus 1,000, pretty heavy favorite.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, so. That wraps this up. I mean, I was excited to talk about, who we think's going to win the awards and everything like that. We did it with the fantasy awards, which that's always fun. But it is nice to just kind of step back, talk about the NFL draft and talk about, these honors and what's going to happen here. And yeah, I mean, just our guess on the Super Bowl picks as well. We both are hoping for 49ers. I had them in my pick, which wasn't really, I was kind of a chalk take. I had Ravens 49ers, so I picked the two teams that were first seed. But yeah, I think they can pull it out, whether, we've seen Brock Purdy come from back-to-back, playoff comebacks against the Packers and, against the Lions. So does it happen again against the Chiefs? We'll find out, and we'll be back next week. Jonah, how about we sign off for now? As always, you can find us at Draft Dive, and then also at _ColtWilliams on Twitter / X. And then also check out the website, draftdive.com. Big boards up there. If you're wondering, you know, who we have at the top of the list, and a whole bunch of other little prospect guides coming out as well, I saw.
Yep. Yeah. Always, you know, trying to really get the scouting reports out. I mean, we're probably at, I don't know, 70 to 80 right now and keep churning them out. But yeah. Check us out. Check out what we think of your favorite player. Maybe find a couple sleepers on there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, we will check back in with you next week with another episode of Draft Dive Fantasy Football.
Yep. Thank you all for listening.